Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, Avengers Campus gets an opening date, Rise of the Resistance logistics, cast member previews,
new locations on Star Tours, less travel options, new coin machines, a lot of merch, and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Welcome to DL Weekly, a podcast about Walt's original Magic Kingdom, Disneyland. We cover the latest news and information from the resort, test our skills at trivia, and have a discussion about the parks every week. We invite you to send in your feedback and stories. Our contact information can be found at dlweekly.net. Now sit back, keep your hands and arms inside the podcast, and enjoy this week's show.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of January 1st, 2020. I'm Teresa Urban.
Well, Happy New Year, everybody, and I'm Tig Bushman. We'd like to send a shout out and a big thank you to Katie W. and Carrie W. for supporting the show, as well as all of our patrons who have been supporting the show. This support helps make DL Weekly possible. Patrons get some pretty nice perks like access to our Discord chat, live shows, some DL Weekly swag, and more. If you'd like to learn more, head on over to dlweekly.net/support.
Well, does listening to the show make you want to be in the park? If so, contact James, Mike, or Scott over at Concierge to get your next trip planned. They made our trip in August truly memorable and hassle-free. If you want that same experience, please head on over to Concierge.com and chat with them about what your dream Disney vacation looks like. Maybe you're a Disneyland expert but want to check out Disney World, Disneyland Paris, Aulani, or even a Disney cruise. Even better, they can help you with all of those. Remember that there is no additional cost to book through them, and you get a year of touring plans free when you mention that DL Weekly sent you.
Well, if you're going to the park soon and want to be wearing some DL Weekly swag, head on over to dlweekly.net/store to pick some up. There's a winter holiday logo version still available on the store if you're feeling festive about the show and want to show it off in the parks or anywhere, really.
Now let's get to the news. The Disney Parks blog announced something that should come as no surprise to anyone, the summer 2020 opening date of Avengers Campus. When the area was announced, there was no firm date, just sometime in 2020, but it was widely speculated to be in the summer. This post from Disney confirms that, although summer 2020 could be anywhere from June through August, so there is still a lot of wiggle room for the new land.
So, judging by the construction updates that I've seen of this, I'm not thinking that this is going to be something that's going to open in June necessarily. I feel like parts of it could be open in July or maybe August, but I feel like they still have quite a bit of work to do here. You know, when we look at things like the recent opening of Galaxy's Edge, I feel like it took them quite a long time to get a land open back there. I know that they had to do a lot of other work like clearing and, you know, making a bunch of stuff. You know, the landscape of Batuu and stuff was a lot more difficult than what they're doing in Avengers Campus, but I feel like it's still going to take a little bit of time for them to kind of wrap all this up. But I'm very excited to see this new area. I know that we are already potentially planning two different trips. One of them would be at the end of summer, so I'm hoping that this area would be complete by the time we would do something like that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because I did read somewhere that they're going to kind of open this in phases like they ended up doing with Galaxy's Edge. So it sounds like I believe we're going to be seeing I believe we're going to be seeing the web or the Spider-Man attraction.
Yeah.
Opening first, and then also it sounds like Pim's Test Kitchen,
yep,
I believe is what they're calling it, will also be one of the first things to open. The main Avengers big, what should be awesome attraction, that is going to be opening after the land itself is open, from what it sounds like. Now that could change.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that it's just one of those things, like you said, that they're going to do these phased openings. Mm-hmm. I hope that the Spider-Man attraction is a good, strong attraction that people are going to get excited about.
Yes.
And then by the time it gets over to this new e-ticket attraction, hopefully that'll also be a strong attraction. I'll tell you one thing I'm very excited about. I am very excited that all of this stuff is happening at Disneyland. Like, we're getting a lot of stuff. Yes. We just got a whole new land. We got two attractions in that land. We're going to be getting a refurbishment of Indiana Jones Adventure, mm-hmm. Snow White's Scary Adventures. We're getting this Avengers campus, which is going to have one restaurant and one attraction to begin with. So, I mean, we're getting a lot of stuff.
We are. They're doing a lot of work.
And this Spider-Man attraction looks like it's going to be pretty good. I would not consider that like a low grade attraction. It seems like it's going to be pretty fun. It's going to be at least a D ticket attraction, I would say. Well, with Disneyland getting Rise of the Resistance after Hollywood Studios out in Florida, Disneyland will get the benefit of the kinks being worked out when it opened out in Florida. The current information from Disney is once inside the park, guests will have to get a boarding group through the Disneyland app. Notifications will be sent as soon as their boarding group is called. Guests need to physically be in the park to get a boarding pass.
I think that's a really smart idea.
I think so, too. So out in Florida, I don't know how close you watched any of this stuff, Teresa, but out in Florida, they had people showing up at like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. and waiting in lines. They had their parking areas weren't even open, so they were doing things where they were telling guests to like drive around. So there's all these hundreds of cars driving around the Disney World property waiting for the gates to open. Then finally, they were letting people in the parking lots, but then, of course, they weren't letting them in the gates yet. Then when they would open the gates, people would be getting these boarding groups, and while people had to wait for the boarding groups, they had a couple other attractions open that they could go and enjoy. But I feel like with Disneyland, that's going to be really challenging. So I think that going to this where park's going to open at normal time, as soon as mm-hmm. you scan in with your ticket, you can get on the app and request a boarding group. You know, so if you get there early and you're in line first, great. I am wondering how many people, first of all, I'm wondering how many people they think, like how many people are in each boarding group, how quickly it's going to go. I feel like it's going to go very quickly. It did in Florida. And at one point, will guests show up and then not be able to ride? Like, wouldn't you be kind of disappointed if you showed up at the park at, let's say the park opens at 8, but by 9, it's all gone. You showed up at like 9 o'clock and they're like, all things are full.
I mean, because
there's no standby.
Yeah, I would be disappointed with that. But I guess, you know, for us, we're kind of in the know. We realize that that might be something that happens, and it's not really out of the realm of possibility for that to happen. I do feel bad for the Disneyland guest that doesn't stay as up to date and informed on things, that maybe just, oh, you just have to get a reservation. It's like a fast pass. You know, they don't realize, you know, the I don't know, I don't want to say severity, but, you know, sure. kind of how much different this is going to be. I do feel really bad for those people, because I can see a lot of confusion for the more casual park guest versus the people that are watching all, like us, that are kind of way more involved in like looking at all these things and know about this stuff ahead of time. So I hope that there's going to be good communication so that the casual park guest also is well informed in how this is going to work, so that there isn't too many surprises for too many people.
Well, hopefully people that go for multiple days will realize, like, when they go the first day, if it doesn't work out, like, Disney had been pretty good at putting signage up saying, like, make sure you get a boarding pass when Galaxy's at first opened.
Yeah, they did a really great job that with that when it first opened. So yeah, hopefully they'd have the same type of communication when this attraction opens.
I hope so.
Cast member previews for Rise of the Resistance will be starting on January 8th, just a few days before the public opening on January 17th. Cast member previews will also utilize the boarding queue system that guests will use when the attraction opens to the public. Perfect. They can work out more kinks for us mm-hmm. too.
Yeah, I like this idea. I know we have a couple, at least a couple people that are cast members that listen to the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So yep. I'm very excited to hear through an email or social media or something if any cast members do get to ride it before, and let us know what they think of it. Because, you know, it's supposed to be identical to the one in Florida. And like we've talked about previously, I've watched videos and stuff, but I feel like nothing quite beats actually experiencing the attraction. Sure. So, I'm excited they're doing cast member previews, though. Yes. I wasn't sure that they were going to.
Yeah, I'm glad that they're doing that, too, especially since, you know, it's one of those things that it's not brand new. You know, yes, it's brand new for our park, but it's not the, you know, it's not like when they first originally opened, but two, and nobody had seen it, you know, so I'm glad that they're, you know, kind of giving this to the cast members, too.
Sure.
Because really, what are cast members? They're big Disney nerds also, so I think that's great.
I hope so, anyway. With the release of Star Wars Rise of Skywalker, Star Tours has added some new locations from the 9th installment of the saga. Not only will there be new locations, but there'll also be a visit from an old friend with Lando Calrissian.
So, question. I don't know how much you know about this, but this is my thought when I saw this. I'm like, oh, how cool would that be? I hope that we're able, you know, that they obviously will still hopefully have it in April when we're there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like what are the odds of getting it? Is it one of those things that it's thrown into the mix? Or do you think that it's just this is the destination, period?
So
kind of like how they did with Crate, I think it was.
So what they've done in the past is for a certain amount of time, it's every single ride.
Sure.
We'll end with it. So in the post, it says, don't worry, for the next few months,
gotcha,
we'll exclusively feature the destinations inspired by Rise of Skywalker. So the cool thing is the couple planets that have been added is they added the planet of Exego, which is, if anybody who's seen Rise of Skywalker, it's kind of that lightning-y planet. And then, of course, they added the water planet of Kef Bir, which is where the Death Star kind of crashed near Endor somewhere. So these are two locations. And then, of course, you've got, I think it's so cool that Billy Dee Williams reprised his role as Lando Calrissian for this. You know, I feel like Billy Dee Williams is one of those people that, like, he loved the character of Lando. So I feel like he's very excited to be doing this. He seemed very excited in the movie when he showed up. He also seemed very excited because he was at the opening of Galaxy's Edge in Disneyland. So very, very cool. Are you excited by these new locations?
I think it's cool because, and like this said in the Disney Parks blog, is, you know, with adding these new location, there's over 100 different combinations now that if you take this journey, if you take this star tour, that you can go through, and it doesn't have to be anywhere near the same. I feel like I always end up going to the same places, but it's nice to know that there is over 100 different combinations of how they can tell this story. So I think that's pretty cool. I do like that they tie in the new things that we're seeing in the movies with this attraction. And I know it's probably pretty easy because it's just, you know, graphics and reprogramming.
Sure.
the simulator.
Motion simulator, yeah.
But it's still just mind-boggling to me that the movie's been out, what, like 2-3 weeks, and they already have like this whole big immersive, here, let's fly to these planets. Like,
well,
that's crazy
how
quickly they turn.
Think
these
of
out.
How easier it is for them to get these assets together and put them together if they do it alongside the movie. So I imagine with Lando Calrissian and Billy Dee Williams that when he was filming some of his parts or whatever for the movie, I assume they were like, "Hey, can we get you to also film this thing for the Star Tours?" And I'm sure he was like, "Yeah, sure." Same thing with Rise of the Resistance because they have Rey and Poe and Finn. And so I assume that they were just like, "Hey, before we wrap up production, since you're here and you already look like the character you need to look like, can we just have you film some of these things for that?" So I'm glad that they could do things like this with Star Tours because the fact that it keeps an attraction that's been around since 1985 fresh and new all the time. So enjoy that.
Well, a familiar face has been spotted around Black Spire Outpost recently. R2-D2 has been roaming around the land in limited capacity. There is hope that this is the first of many droids to come to Batuu, as was originally planned for the area before it opened, but that never materialized. I'm really stupidly excited about this, too.
So the video that I saw from Mice Chat that somebody saw this, it seemed like it was kind of over in that area. Remember when we were in the queue for Smuggler's Run, and there's that area where you can kind of see out to the Millennium Falcon. It seemed like it was in that kind of desolate corner where there wasn't a lot of, like,
that makes
guests.
Sense. Where it's not like where they're taking photos and
it's kind of off to the right
Falcon.
Of that.
Yep,
yeah.
Okay. Yep.
And so at first, when I looked at it, I was wondering if they had put him behind that, like, retaining
wall,
like under the Falcon, but they didn't. It was on the other side. But they were definitely doing it in an area that didn't have a lot of guest traffic, which I thought was probably good to make sure everything's working okay.
Right.
So I'm interested to see how this works out. I'm interested to see how droid interactions work. Obviously, like, R2-D2 doesn't speak. So, like, how is the interaction going to work with guests, really, except for, like, maybe making funky noises?
He's got his cute little beeps and chirps. What are you talking about?
Do you know what I really want to see? I really want to see a BB-8 moving around,
because
that would be super cool. And I know it's possible, because for Christmas, I got a remote control BB-8 that, like, rolls around the floor, and, like, his head stays on top, and it's super cool.
Wow.
So it's one of those things where, like, I was like, if they could just make this bigger and do it in the park. So that could be kind of cool. And of course, there's tons of droids you could have wandering around. I also saw that it seemed like there was quite a bit of characters out still in Batuu, you know, Rey and Chewbacca and Kylo Ren and a bunch of stormtroopers and stuff. So I'm excited to see if they add some more stuff like that. and kind of just trust that, like, this is what they need. I saw an interesting article this week, somebody's review of Will Rise of the Resistance Fix Galaxy's Edge, and it was talking about how all of these elements had been cut. And I started thinking about it, because I thought about it when I watched the ride video online, was the storyline, basically, and this isn't really a spoiler, is like you're escaping Batuu to get right away from the First Order, because they've like found your base. And then at the end of the attraction, you're back on Batuu. So it's like, okay, so now what, right? And so what they wanted to do originally, and we talked about this at length, is based on how you do in these attractions or whatever, is what people, how people are going to react to you. Well, I didn't have anybody treat me differently after Smuggler's Run. So I'm wondering if they're going to start, because it is popular, especially with Rise of the Resistance, if they're going to be like, okay, we can put some effort and some money back into this and try to bring some of those elements back that we originally cut. And maybe they just didn't work well because we didn't have the Rise of the Resistance attraction. Maybe a lot of these added elements have elements that work with both attractions, and they couldn't do it just to Smuggler's Run, maybe.
So I don't think it's quite that. I mean, maybe, but I think it's kind of more of a, you know, it's money and it's risk. So they kind of wanted to do it slowly if they're going to do it at all. So I don't, as much as they said, you're going to be able to walk in first day and this is what you're going to experience, it's still got to be pretty nerve-wracking and pretty expensive and pretty, you know, risky to invest in all of that. So I think they thought they were going to go in guns blazing and, you know, hit the ground sprinting, and they kind of got scared and didn't. They backed off. So I do think it's sad because there was going to be another attraction that they had talked about building. Maybe they can still do it, where they had, I don't remember what kind of creature it was.
Like a bantha that they were riding.
Yeah, but it was like, and it was elevated that you'd ride these things kind of around. So I wish we would have gotten that. I wish that wouldn't have gotten cut. Unfortunately, I'm not sure that they could do that now. Maybe they can. I don't know. But I do think
the restaurant.
Yeah, I think that they're still rolling things out in phases.
Sure.
But it's just not advertise that that's how they're doing it. And that's why I think we see Mr. R2-D2 going around and being tested. He's probably one of the first of hopefully many droids. I can see others out.
I hope that they continue to add stuff to the land.
Yeah.
And I hope that they get to a point where it is kind of what everybody expected in the beginning. I mean, you're right. They've got to be cautious because they can't just, you know, like the Imagineering story we talked about, they can't just be throwing money at things and just hoping it all works out.
You also need to remember that the company was building two of these.
That's true.
Parks, you know, two of these lands, not just one. So they, I can't even imagine being the people in charge of doing all this and like, oh, everyone cross your fingers that this is going to work, because they spent tons.
Well, just think of how much custom stuff, like nothing is really off the shelf for any of this stuff.
Yeah, no.
And it's like, we got to make two.
Yeah.
And have spare parts just in case.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then, you know, just not even like the attractions themselves, but I don't know if anybody's watched the One Day at Disney special that they have on Disney Plus, but they talked to one of the cast members that was involved with Galaxy's Edge, and he was talking about how they went to all these, like, where was it? He kind of basically traveled the world to find different pieces that you would possibly, you know, things that he would imagine that you could find on this planet in this space.
Sure.
So that everything was very kind of in universe for it. So, I mean, just the amount of effort that went into collecting things that most people don't even notice are sitting there because they're just kind of part of the area.
You'd miss it if they weren't there, though. That's the funny thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it wouldn't feel quite as real.
Definitely.
Oh, well, getting to and from Disneyland from either LAX or John Wayne airports is going to get a little more complicated in 2020. Coach USA, who operated the Disneyland Express, will be shutting down this service on January 7th. Without this option, you'll have to rent a car, grab a rideshare like Uber or Lyft, or take a taxi if your hotel doesn't offer a shuttle.
I wish we could find out, and maybe somebody out there knows, but I'm wondering why they decided to cancel this service, because I feel like this should have been a very popular service, but maybe, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe they weren't getting very many people to take the shuttle to make it worth their while to offer it as frequently or daily, or, you know, to offer it, period. So maybe it just wasn't worth their while anymore to do so. Because, I mean, when we went out, I kind of personally didn't think about looking to figure out how much the Disneyland Express was, because we were so used to, well, we'll just take an Uber or we'll just take a Lyft, you know, so Yeah, so I wonder if maybe like those type of rideshare type things have kind of made the Disneyland Express a less popular option, so they just kind of fizzled out.
I kind of wish that Disneyland would do like Disney World. I kind of wish that the Disneyland Resort hotels and perhaps like the Good Neighbor hotels would all like pitch in a little bit of money and offer, like in Disney World, they have the Magical Express, which is like Disney buses that like, with in Disney World, it's a little different because you have to be a hotel guest of, on property. And they, what's cool about it is they take all your bags and everything and they take you there and like they put your bags in your room. Like you just get on the bus, get off the bus, and your stuff's going to be in your room like at some point, right? So I think that it'd be really cool to do this in Disneyland. At Disneyland, of course, you only have three Disney hotels, so it wouldn't make sense necessarily just to do it for those three hotels. But it'd be kind of cool to do it for like the Good Neighbors too. And if they all pay in a little bit, you could drop people at a couple central-ish locations. I would not mind, you know, if you had five stops around the Disneyland Resort, I wouldn't mind being dropped off somewhere on Harbor Boulevard and then walking a couple blocks and having it be something that's more affordable or even part of my hotel stay. I just think that like it would just make it such a better experience because even our, I love Uber and Lyft, and our Uber and Lyft experience wasn't great just because it was hard for us to get an Uber at the, because we had reception problems and everything else. So it would have been nice to have a system where we knew when we got off the plane, like, we're just going to go get on this bus. Even if we had to wait an hour or two, like, it would have been okay, I think.
Well, some winter-themed coin press machines have come to the resort. In Disneyland, you can find the new machine in the Penny Arcade over on Main Street. And in California Adventure, you can find it in Kingswell Camera on Buena Vista Street. So these, we're calling them coin press machines because they're the penny press machines. But it looks like these, I don't know if they're, oh, they're nickels. I was going to say, I don't know if it's a nickel or a quarter, but you press nickels instead of pressing pennies. I think they're adorable. But you guys know how much of a fan I am of squished pennies, so that may be a little biased.
These are kind of neat.
They're so cute.
I like that they're nickels because, like, I've seen so many, you know, pennies or whatever, but it's neat to kind of have nickels. I know it's a little bit more expensive because obviously you're using a nickel instead of a penny. But these are really nice, and I like the fact that they're on the nickels because it kind of gives you a bigger area to work with to make the imprint. I don't know how long these will be hanging around. Some of them are like celebrate the season. They seem very like Christmassy. They have like a Christmas hat, that kind of thing. So I don't know if this is just going to last till that first week in December or in January, or if these are going to last longer. Like this one that says joy and the heart one with candy canes, like that could be
nothing,
a little bit longer.
Yeah, nothing like specifically says Christmas or New Year's or, you know, anything like that. They're very wintry looking, but they do have elements like you said, Tag. They've got the Santa's hat. There's candy canes in there. So yeah, it'll be interesting. They could hang out for a little bit longer than the holiday season, but I don't know. Hopefully they do.
I know you're an avid penny squisher.
Yeah.
What do you think about the nickels?
I do the nickels too.
You do?
So Disney in general, I've seen it at Land and at World, is one of the few places that do things other than pennies. They do quarters. There's some machines that also squish quarters, which those turn out pretty big. Obviously the nickels. I've not seen dimes, actually.
They're too small.
Yeah, I was going to say they are smaller than a penny, so that really wouldn't make as much sense. But if you guys are interested, it looks like that it does cost 80 cents. So it's 75 cents to actually squish your nickel plus your nickel. So pretty inexpensive, fun little keepsake.
That's a very cheap souvenir. And it's fun too because you get to like crank it or like hit the button and like do it.
And if you're a really big penny or coin squisher nerd like myself, they actually have websites out there that tell you, like, they're kind of, it's like Wikipedia for pennies. So it's like all user inputted information. But you can say, I'm traveling anywhere in the world, and it will actually tell you where you can find the squishing machines.
You've used this, I'm guessing.
Yes, I have. That's how I found a penny or a coin. I don't even know what it was called because it was New Zealand, so it wasn't a penny squisher machine. But like they had a little copper-colored disc in there that looked like a penny that it would squish and imprint your stuff on. So that's how I found those when we were in New Zealand.
That, I mean, and those things are kind of cool because, like, you could have a collection of those from, like, all around the world because they're all fairly similar. And, you know, because a lot of things, you go somewhere and you're like, okay, I buy a hat everywhere I go,
right,
or I
right,
buy,
right.
like, a cup everywhere I go. So, nice. I was, and then, of course, where do you get your like shiny pennies for it? Do you just keep a lookout or do you try to?
I keep a lookout because I'm weird like that, because I only like squishing shiny pennies because I feel like
they look nice.
They look nicer. Yeah. So I just keep an eye out, and I actually kind of have like a separate little piggy bank thing almost that I keep my shiny pennies in. And as you know, I have like this little container that I put my shiny pennies in when I go on vacation, especially to the Disneyland Resort. And I carry this little, it's the cutest thing. It's actually a tiny Tupperware container.
I remembered how nice you were and how excited Casper was, because you're like, would you like a shiny penny to cushion the thing? And he was like, yeah.
Shiny pennies are the best for squishing.
It's true. Well, as is the case every year, new merchandise themed to the new year has appeared around the resort. This year's design sports a cartoony 2020 year and characters. Almost every item includes a different design except for the 2020 aspect of it. So the 2020 written on all this stuff looks pretty much like the same design no matter what. Mm-hmm. It's just different characters, different items, that kind of thing.
Tons and tons of merchandise.
I don't think I've ever been a fan of the year merchandise. Like, I like getting like the pins that say the year,
sure,
but I never like what they look like. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I know what you're saying,
because they're just not the style I would want. I want something classier, I guess.
It's gotta be hard because they kind of have to make this design for all ages, right?
Yeah.
And then so it's kind of always whimsical, but it can't really be the same. So each year it's whimsical but different.
Sure.
So yeah, I not want to be the design team for these.
I will say I don't usually like tie-dye for myself, I do like this adult tee. It's it's got the 2020, it's got some fireworks on it, it's got the characters at the bottom with some icons of the parks, and it's this tie-dye of like dark blue, like a regular blue, and like a light blue, and I like it.
Ombre tie-dye.
Is that what it is, what it's called? Yes. I like it.
I'm a big fan of the ears, of course. Blue seems to be the color for this year, for 2020.
Oh.
The ears are really fun. It's got a deep blue, like a, I don't know, like a royal blue, I guess, bow. But then the ears themselves are like multicolored sequin. They just are really, I don't know, they're really fun and really cute.
I like those.
And
oh,
then,
I
of
like
course,
it.
On the side, they do have 2020 on the side of the band.
Wow, they went really neon with some of these things. Like, there's a picture frame that has a lot of neon stuff. I mean, I like the darker blues and like the bolder colors. I do enjoy that about this year's particular variation, but in general, I'm not a huge fan. Although the next story you're going to read is something that I am more excited about.
Of course. Doc Ondar's in Galaxy's Edge has acquired some new lightsaber variations. Rey's saber is now available for $129.99 without the blade, and Ben Solo's saber is also available for $139.99. So for those of you that don't know, I hope this is not a I don't think it's a spoiler, but Kylo Ren is actually Ben Solo. Same as how Anakin Skywalker became Darth Vader, Ben Solo became Kylo Ren. So Kylo Ren, his saber, I think, was available before. Don't quote me on that. I could be wrong. But it is very different looking from what Ben Solo's saber looks like. So I think that's pretty cool that they added his lightsaber to the collection as well.
You know what I just noticed? And literally, I didn't notice this from the movie at all, but I'm noticing looking at this picture of Rey's lightsaber. So I was wondering this in the movie because at the end of The Last Jedi, her and Kylo Ren are like fighting it and it breaks in half. And there's a scene at the end where she's like, I don't know how to fix it. And Leia says that everything's going to be great.
And we have everything we need right now.
Well, I'm looking at this and it looks like she like stitched it back together and like welded the part that kind of broke there. I had not noticed that in the movie. I kind of wondered, I was like, how did she get a lightsaber back? But I guess they fixed it. Ben Solo's is super cool because up towards the top where the blade comes out, it has a cool like a heated metal look.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy that. I think that that's super cool. I think that the lightsaber itself for his is a little light for my taste, but I love that like effect that they have at the top there. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at long last, the child merchandise has appeared at the resort. The child, better known as Baby Yoda to the general public and internet at large, is the breakout star from the Mandalorian TV series on Disney+. Items include a spirit jersey, t-shirts, D-Tech on-demand phone cases, and more. It sure took them long enough, I feel.
It did take a while, but holy cow, it came out in like force, because it's not just, oh, here's one thing, you know, they have
it
a
came
whole
out in force.
Yes, it came out in force. They have a whole area devoted to this adorable character.
Did you watch the end of Mandalorian, by the way?
I did watch the end of Mandalorian.
Did you like it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But there's just so many different options. I mean, there's not just like, here's your men's t-shirt, here's your women's t-shirt. Oh no. There's like multiple options for both.
I love this gray t-shirt with like the three looks of him on it. Like, he's just such an adorable character.
Very cute.
Oh, you know what I think is Disney had to get on this, because there was a bunch of people online that were starting to make their own merchandise with the thing. Oh
yeah, over at Shop Disney, I did think this was entertaining, is they have a plush of the child. However, last I saw, they don't actually have him. He's not made yet. You can't actually buy him, but you can pre-order your Baby Yoda plush.
Do you know what I find most interesting about this whole Baby Yoda the child thing? Well, first of all, did you see the big hubbub that came out this week that one of the creators got mad at Bob Iger for calling him Baby Yoda, and they're like, the child, and like, it's this whole thing.
Oh no.
But like, you gotta, you know, when people make him something, like, you just gotta go with it. So I think Bob's in the right there. What surprises me a lot too is when the new Star Wars movies came out, right?
Yeah.
There was for the first movie, there was BB-8 everywhere. Like, they just knew BB-8 was gonna be popular. So BB-8 was everywhere months before the movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
For the second movie, for The Last Jedi, Porgs everywhere the movie, months before the movie, like September. The movie came out in December. Porgs everywhere. This show, they did like nothing. Like, why did they use their Disney third eye and be like, come on, this Baby Yoda is going to be like.
Again, I think it's, you know, trying to outweigh risk, because they are launching this new series on a platform that really hadn't been released to the general public yet. So, you know, I think, like we talked about, were they worried with how popular Disney Plus was going to be? Obviously, they were completely wrong, because it was very, very popular. So many people are on this streaming service. But I'm sure there was a lot of, you know, kind of, you know, is it going to be popular? Do we think it's as great as it's going to be? So they probably didn't want to invest too much outside of the actual content, just in case it was not as popular.
I can see that, I suppose.
That's my thought.
But I just feel like BB-8 and the Porgs, they both could have been like giant flops that nobody wanted to deal with. But like, they took a chance and bam.
But they knew people were going to go to those movies.
That's, I suppose.
Know if they were as certain people were going to watch this show.
I was just surprised. That's all.
Because
they flood everything. And I'm like, this is so un-Disney-like.
I figured after the first episode... Really, after the first episode, that's all they could talk about was the child or Baby Yoda. So I'm surprised that it took as long for them to catch up. Maybe it takes that long to print t-shirts or wherever they go.
Well, think about it. Well, they have to make millions of it.
Yeah, yeah. So it'd be interesting to me to see when they decided, ooh, we need to, like, this is a thing, we need to do it, you know?
Sure.
So it'd be interesting to figure out when that decision was made versus how long it took, because who knows?
I did see somebody in our chat. Was it Kate that said that she loved this
spirit jersey?
Spirit jersey. Didn't she already buy the spirit jersey? I like this gray one with the three faces of Baby Yoda on it. The regular Mandalorian one with him in his like egg is pretty cool too. But there's nothing that like screams like I must have it. If they had like a plush doll that looked really adorable, like not this one's a little too plushy looking for me. If they had one that looked more like the actual character, I'd be all about it. I'd love to carry a little Baby Yoda around.
I do feel a little bit bad for the Mandalorian himself, because it looks like the only thing that they've come out with for him right now for merchandise is a pop figurine. So hopefully he'll get a t-shirt or something sooner rather than later.
did you see that there's been pictures all over the internet that in Doc Ondar's his helmet and his like blaster rifles up on the wall?
Oh really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I knew that. A new Disneyland Parks tumbler has arrived at the Starbucks locations at Disneyland. This variation is different from the previous models, as it features both parks and not just Disneyland or California Adventure. The Disneyland side of the tumbler shows off Sleeping Beauty Castle, made up of attractions at the park. The California Adventure side shows off Carthay Circle, also made up of, you guessed it, DCA attractions.
This is so neat like, I saw it. I didn't look at it, right? Like, I clicked the link that you had put in the thing, and yeah. I started reading about it, and I just glanced at it. And then I looked closer, and I'm like, yeah. That's Space Mountain in the middle
yeah,
there.
Yeah, no, it's very cool. You've got a little nod to Mr. Toad. You've got a hitchhiking ghost over here.
Teacups.
You see the, you've got the dog with the keys from
Pirates.
Pirates.
Yeah.
Matterhorn.
They got the flowers from, I assume It's a Small World, like
oh,
right
sure,
here.
Yeah.
So lots of little nods very to fun. Different attractions. And then over in DCA, of course, they have, it looks like Carthay Circle, and they've got the statue with Walt and Mickey. They've got the
Incredicoaster.
So a lot of cool stuff.
Oh, they've even got, is that a nod to Tower of Terror?
Which one?
On the left.
Oh, yeah.
Is it? Do you think it is?
Oh, no, that's the door from Monsters, Inc.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so.
Hard to tell. This photo is kind of small.
Jack-Jack's Cookie Num Nums.
Do you see how the Disneyland one, they have the goat from Big Thunder Mountain is one of the, like, castle spires.
Oh.
I love it. Oh, I love it so much.
That's great. So
I would love to see these in person to really get all the details.
Me too. I want one of these. These would be cool. And I don't even, I'm not even, like, a huge Starbucks mug fan, but, like, these are super neat looking. Yeah. So
the one thing I would change about this mug is I would take off the Starbucks logo.
Well, but that's kind of the point, right?
I know you can't do that, right?
That's kind of the point.
That's the only thing that I'm not a fan of right now.
Are you
surprised? The rest of it's so cool. I wish it was bigger.
That I got excited about a cup?
I am.
Yeah.
A coffee cup, no less. I'm excited.
Well, you could put any warm beverage in
it. I know, but a coffee branded cup. Those
sure.
are, but tumblers are kind of more for cold beverages.
Well, I do like an iced chai.
There you go.
Well, annual pass holders can now pick up an exclusive phone case. The new case is from OtterBox, known for their durable phone cases. The design features Mickey Mouse's signature and face at the top, a Disneyland pendant, an AP logo pop socket, and vintage Disneyland lettering at the bottom. These are limited, so make sure to head to World of Disney, Trolley Treats, or Off the Page to grab one. I was surprised that these were available only in Downtown Disney and California Adventure and not anywhere at Disneyland.
Interesting. As soon as I saw this case, I immediately thought of you and thought that this would be something that you would have. It's like old school Disneyland is what I like the feel of it to me. And that's, you really like the old, you know,
yeah.
the kind of like old school, the vintage, I guess,
miss
original Disneyland.
Disneyland
stuff.
Pennants, because they used to have them all the time.
Yes.
I have two of them that were in the background and they're still on the wall
yeah.
over there. One's the 40 Years of Adventure and one was for the Electrical Parade. So I feel like they can make a lot of money selling these pennants still,
mm-hmm.
but they don't. I love the idea that they have the pass holder logo as a pop socket
yeah.
built into the case,
yeah.
which is kind of neat. And then, of course, the Disneyland thing at the bottom. I have a case.
It's kind of one of, like, it looks like the original sign.
I have a case that I love, but like I would be tempted to get this one. I don't know if they... like what phones it's good for necessarily. In the picture here, it looks like it's either an older iPhone, I think it is. Well, if anybody gets one or sees anything, let me know what they are, because I think that they're pretty neat. And I'm not a huge pop socket fan either, but like I like that it's kind of built into this.
Yeah,
one.
So it's not. It looks like the case is actually kind of indented where the
mm-hmm.
pop socket is, so it's not like the pop socket's sticking out from
yeah.
the case. It looks like it's built,
which will be nice,
because
my problem is you set it down and like wobbles.
Yeah.
So
there you go. I think that would solve that problem.
There's
for
two
you.
Merch stories I've been excited about today. Aren't you impressed?
I am impressed. Well, speaking of merch, it hasn't been long since we got the last new color at the resort, Belle of the Ball Bronze. But the newest color is red with 2Ds. It's reminiscent of red from Pirates of the Caribbean is so popular that it nearly sold out at the resort. The new mini ears are covered in sequins and are a nice bright red color. To me, this just like screams the holidays and it just screams Christmas time. That is the red that I would, it's like true red.
That bow looks like it's leathery too, doesn't it?
So remember for my potion purple ears,
yeah.
the bow is like that too. It's kind of like this metallic-y smooth fabric. There's a couple other ears. Oh, the other set of ears that I have that have the Sleeping Beauty castle on them, they also have this kind of smooth metallic-y thing on them too. It's I like it. If you're going to have sequins all over the ears, I think having the different fabric for the bow makes sense.
It does. I mean, I think they look nice. But I agree with what you were saying earlier that it seems like that it would be more of like a dark magenta maybe
yeah.
for red's ears instead of actual red.
Yeah. Yeah. Because according to the Disney food blog, these ears are inspired by the pirate red, which I just, Yeah, I don't know if that's right, because to me these just look like they're holiday ears, not necessarily Red the Pirate ears, because as Tag was saying, Red the Pirate, if you've ever seen her, it's kind of a more of like kind of a burgundy and like a pink. It's not true red like these ears are, but who knows? They're pretty.
They are pretty. Well, as if there weren't enough attraction closures already for 2020, currently King Arthur's Carousel is going down for refurbishment from January 21st through at least late May 2020 for its extended refurbishment. I can't remember the last time that this went down. I know that it went down for a huge refurbishment right before the 50th anniversary. They literally rebuilt almost everything on it.
Well,
so I guess that it would maybe be from then.
The thing that's crazy is, as simple as an attraction as, you know, you would assume this to be compared to things like Indiana Jones or, you know, whatever, you don't think that this has a lot of moving parts. Oh, no, there are a ton of moving parts. So many different gears and cranks and whatever that, you know, make all of those horses go up and down. And they put a lot of work in those horses. They go, you know, they're going constantly for however many hours, you know, hours and hours and hours a day. So I'm sure that those parts and those pieces wear out over time, that they just need to be replaced. So maybe it's time.
According to Wikipedia's article on King Arthur Carousel, it has had two refurbishments, one in 1983 when the new Fantasyland opened, and one in 2003.
Wow.
So it's about time. I'm glad that they're keeping it up. I mean, can you imagine an attraction that like this that just stays running? I mean, that's pretty good that it stays running for so long without having some type of refurbishment.
It's
it is
crazy.
Simple. So, well, because of the holiday this week, we are doing just a shorter episode with just the news segment. So we want to let you guys know that there's no discussion topic this week. We will return to having a normal discussion topic next week and a normal episode with news and trivia and everything like that. So if you want a great place to talk about all things Disneyland and Disney in general, then supporting the show and joining the Discord chat is the right choice for you. Supporting the show at the Park Hopper level or above gives you access to the great community. Arrange meetups in the park with other fans, share pictures and history from the parks, and more. There's always something cool and interesting happening in there, so why not support the show and join other weekly tiers? Head on over to dlweekly.net/support to sign up.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of DL Weekly. You can support the show for as little as 25 cents an episode. If you'd like access to the supporter chat that Tag was just talking about, it's only 75 cents an episode. So please consider joining supporters like Jeremy B. and head over to dlweekly.net/support.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks. Happy New Year.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.